Make that night we encountered as quite an honor and a privilege and a responsibility. We are in this incredible season of seeing and believing. That is the word that the Lord has given us this year, 2020, the year of seeing and believing, the year of believing to see. And others have said this is 2020 vision. And the Lord gave me a word as we were coming out of 2019 that is rooted in Luke. In Luke 1, verse 45. And it simply reads like this. Blessed is she who believes. Now, he's speaking about Mary. But if you're not a she, just put he in there if you believe. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. There will be a fulfillment, which says to me there are many fulfillments, and you're going to start to see some this year if you believe. Right before this, the angel comes to Mary and tells her that she's going to carry a son, and he's going to be the Son of God, and she doesn't understand all the hows and all the whys or all the of anything, but all she says is, "Be it unto me according to your word." That's a statement of faith. I don't need to know all the details. However you want to do it, God, I just say, be it unto me according to your word. So if you are in a place where you really want to see the unfolding, one translation said a full unfolding of those things that the Lord has shown her. If you want to see a full unfolding, just lift up your hands and say, be it unto me, Lord, according to your word. Be it unto me according to your word. Our anchor verse is found in 2 Chronicles 20:20. I know James is back there. Jamal's back there doing, helping James not have to do double duty this morning. And I'm going to read, I'm reading primarily Jamal from the New King James Version. And it says, so they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Or one translation says, you shall succeed. That word, believe, that Hebrew word is aman, A-M-A-N, and word aman is used where it says believe, and it's the same word that says, so you shall be established. Established and believe, they're the same word. The complete Jewish Bible reads this way. Early in the morning they arose, went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Trust firmly in the Lord your God, and you will stand firm. Trust firmly in his prophets, and you will succeed. Trust firmly. That word aman means to build up or support, to be firm, faithful, trust, believe, to be permanent. Or quiet, to stand firm. We trust firmly in God, we shall firmly be established in his purposes and his plans. If we trust the prophets, we shall succeed. I want to share what the Lord spoke to me. I was sitting back there in the sound booth last week as Apostle John was using all my scripture and dipping into my message and going, make him stop, God, make him stop. I won't have anything to say. But the Lord started speaking to me, and I want to share what he said as we have entered into this time of seeing. And the title of my message for today is Prepared to See, Lessons from the Life of Abraham. We will see, this is what the Lord spoke to me, we will see the things that God has spoken fully unfold. Many of us have seen glimpses, bits, pieces, with no real consistency of walking in our truest identity, our purposes, and destiny. But this will be the year that God begins to connect the dots so that you can see that your life has been an unfolding of those things that he has spoken concerning you from the moment he spoke them to you. For many, he has been using the events of your life, including your missteps, your poor decisions, your misjudgments, even as you have to walk out some of the consequences of choices that you made that were not necessarily in alignment with what God was speaking to you. He's used it all. Choices that we may have thought disqualified us. He's used it all. We say we believe that word that says it is God that causes all things to work together. So don't think that any of your missteps have disqualified you. God has used it all wherever you find yourself right now in this season. Some of you are being prepared for the greatest unfolding of destiny. Some of you at this very moment are going through some things that you thought, I would never imagine going through anything like this. It's the hardest place you've ever been in your life. And God said, I'm just setting you up for the greatest unfolding of destiny, for the greatest unveiling of who you really are. Because you don't know, and others around you really don't know. They've been messing with you. You better tell me, you don't know who I am. Don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. I am a child of God, called, anointed, appointed for such a time as this. Don't mess with me. I know I'm talking to someone because I know someone sitting here right now is saying, what in the world is going on in my life? I thought it was all settled at this point. And now the enemy has come in and just disrupted everything. But it's God as well. It's God. Don't give the enemy so much power. He cannot disrupt the plans of God in your life. He can get you distracted. He can get you depressed if you let him. But he cannot disrupt the plans of God for your life. So grab hold of it. God is saying now to some of you that your imperfect behavior and your choices are not big enough to nullify his word in your life unless you let them. You have a choice. We have a choice. He has not changed. And he has used it all to prepare you for now. As I've already said, the greatest unfolding of destiny that you've ever seen. The greatest unveiling of your true identity in him. You will see. You need to just say that to yourself. I will see. Because even now, the enemy's trying to convince them, nah, that's for everybody else, but I don't know if I'm going to see. This is the year for many that God will redeem lost time. Let me say that again. This is the year that God will redeem time we thought we lost. The years that you thought were wasted. The years that you lived by your own plan rather than his plan. The years that you had to focus on other things for the sake of family or whatever, and you thought that you would never see those years reclaimed again. I know. Because as a caregiver for 10 years, and I won't call them wasted years, it was just I had a different focus. But there were some things during those 10 years that I thought I wouldn't reclaim, things I couldn't do because I had a person depending on me who couldn't depend on herself. And I am beginning to see. I mean, it's not that I wouldn't do. Of course, I would. I love my mother. I would do it all over again. But God is speaking now. All those things that you thought you lost during those 10 years in purpose and walking out destiny, I'm redeeming that. It's not been lost. And for you, it's not been lost. Step into it. Step into it. Step into it. There are people in this room that have so many gifts and so many talents, and you know that God has been speaking to you. This is what I've called you to do. This is what I want you to do. And you get caught up in this vortex of whatever other people want you to do. You get caught up in believing what the hype about what other people tell you that you are. Oh, you're too old. You're too young. You're too fat. You're too tall. You're too short. You are not smart enough. You're not educated enough. You're not holy enough. You're not saved enough. You haven't been saved long enough. You've been saved too long. You're too religious. No, you don't. Silence the voices. What does God say? What is God saying about who you are right now? And step into it and own it. We're going to talk a little bit about Abraham and the significance of his name change. That was a statement of faith. Him going around, my name is Abraham. I'm 99 years old. Everybody knows I don't have any children, but I'm calling myself because God calls me the father of a multitude. What, oh man? You ain't no father of a multitude. You don't even have one child. I'm Abraham. Don't call me Abe. Don't call me Abram. My name is Abraham. What is God saying about you? Don't let other people define you. Don't. When I got a revelation of my name and I was telling people I'm not Debbie, I'm not Deb, I'm definitely not Debs. My name is Deborah. Please call me Deborah. And one person said to me, known me for a long time, he said, well, what does your mother call you? I said, my mama can call me anything she wants to, but my name is Deborah. And I appreciate you calling me by my name because it means something. So what is God saying about you? You got to own it. You got to claim it. Yeah, that's who I am. And don't let anybody else define you. Okay. I am so off script right now, but that's okay. It really is okay. He's redeeming the years that you allow fear to paralyze you. The years that you were bound by your own self-imposed limitations that put you in a place of inaction. You're saying you believe, but your actions and your attitude and your behavior say a completely opposite thing. I believe, I believe, I believe, but you're just sitting there not putting any action behind what you say you believe. Faith requires action. There's a word in the Hebrew that means hear, is Shema. And it's not just to hear, you haven't heard. According to the Jewish tradition, you have not heard until you have obeyed. I'm just going to let that kind of Selah. You have not heard until you have obeyed. So what have you heard that you've been just kind of sitting on? I can speak, well, my reference point has to do with writing. So what's the book? Oh, yeah, God called me to write a book. God called me to write a book. What have you put on paper? Because your faith without works is, thank you, Jesus, you've anointed me to. You've called me to the nations. I don't have a passport. The first step would be, if you really believe that, you're going to get a passport. So you have not heard until you have obeyed. You're not acting in faith until you're acting in faith. You're doing something, not just saying, I believe, God, I believe. But you're not doing anything to show that you truly believe. He's bringing you into alignment with what he's spoken. He is redeeming the time. Some, because you have allowed God to do the work deep, deep inside you, are prepared to see. Some are still being prepared. And for some, the Lord is going to reveal in these next few minutes. I can't see the clock, so maybe that's a good thing. I don't want to hold you hostage, though. Some of the things that may be preventing you from seeing that you need to separate from, let go, allow him to break some cycles or patterns in your life that keep you stuck in a rut so that you can step into all that he has and truly see the fulfillment of what he has promised you. So today I want to go a little bit deeper into the life of Abraham. I love Abraham. He's the one that we call the father of faith. He's the one of whom we read that he believed God and God accounted it to him as righteousness. Through his life, we can see the progressive, transformative nature of the word of the Lord. Because the word comes to us, but it is first to change us. Sometimes we get so caught up in seeing the physical manifestation of what God has spoken that we don't realize, first and foremost, he wants to change us. So we have to allow that word to transform us. It is a progressive word that he speaks to us. God appeared to this idol worshiper. He is doing his thing in Mesopotamia. Just imagine, 75 years old. This is all you've ever known. Ur of the Chaldees is kind of like the ancient equivalent of New York or L.A. It's a modern city by ancient standards, but it is a hotbed for idolatry. Abraham, his entire family worshiping idols. They got this goddess called Ningal, the moon goddess. She is the mother god they all worship. And their family has gotten wealthy from making idols. This is all he's known for 75 years. You imagine, you've been in Cincinnati all your life. This is all you know. And then all of a sudden, God of glory appears to you and says these words. He says, and I'm reading from Genesis 12, but I'm reading from the Passion Translation, so I know it's not back there. I don't want to confuse people with different words on the screen, so just listen carefully. Now Yahweh said to Abram, leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave your native land, your people, your father's household, and go to a land I will show you. Follow me, and I will make you into a great nation. I will exceedingly bless and prosper you. I will make you famous so that you will be a tremendous source of blessing for others. I will bless all who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Leave it all behind. In the Hebrew, that's, I'd like to say this is leka leka. It's kind of a play on words. And what he's saying, what he's asking Abraham to do in this moment is kind of a traumatic. Imagine God coming to you and say, leave everything. Your mama, your daddy, everything that you've ever known, and I'll go somewhere. You don't know where yet. I'm going to show you when we get there. That's kind of a traumatic thing. And some of you have had to leave places and you're like, what? I don't know anybody there. What am I supposed to go do when I get there? But it says in the next verse that he obeyed God. He left. Leka, leka means I'm leaving Abram to find Abraham. God is speaking to who he knows is inside Abram. When God comes to us with a word, it always does one, speaks of two things. It will speak of identity and it will speak of destiny. The two are interrelated. You will not fully embrace your destiny until you fully embrace your true identity. And that means allowing God to take out the junk that's been poured into you. And that even junk that's been poured into you in the church, hallelujah, amen. Just lift your hands and say, yes, I picked up some stuff in church that was not necessarily God. What we see here in the life of Abraham, and God is speaking to you, leka leka, leave it all behind. Everything that you've learned, everything you think you know about me, everything you think you know about yourself. We go on a journey of discovering who you really are. I'm pulling out the true you in this season. It's always about identity and destiny. Leave everything that you've ever known. God is speaking, and he's speaking to you now. I don't think that Abram understood everything God was saying at that moment. I remember God coming to me, and I shared this on New Year's Eve, 1987. Woke me up early one morning and started speaking stuff to me, and I'm going, what? I don't think so. I didn't understand it, and I'm having a Jeremiah moment. I don't think I can do that. I'm too young. I'm too dumb. I don't know anything. And then I had a Moses moment. I can't speak. Can you send Aaron? And then God said, non-negotiable. But in that moment, he was speaking identity and destiny to me, something I couldn't fully understand. I had a narrow understanding of it based on my experience and my knowledge at that time. But as I just said, okay, what you want me to do? And he said, do you want to know what he said when I asked him that? What you want me to do? He said, get up and go to work. Okay. But that started me. That simple okay. started me on this incredible journey of transformation, and he has been faithful over these last 33 years to unfold that word in my life. Much like, so I like Abraham because I see my journey a lot like Abraham's. And if you look closely, you'll be able to see some parallels between your journey and Abraham's as well. I'm saying Abraham didn't understand all of that stuff about great nations and blessings and curses. And one translation says that that verse, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you. Literally, the word for bless means, God is saying, I will serve those who serve you. And those who make light of you, I will utterly destroy. That's why I say, don't let them mess with you. I will serve those who serve you, and I will, in those who make light of you, I will utterly destroy. No, Abraham didn't fully understand what God was saying. But what we see as we read through the account of his life and his journey is God didn't seem to fault him for his imperfect behavior. He corrected him. He readjusted his thinking. He realigned him to purpose and destiny by appearing to him, not with a new word, but with a new revelation of the old word. He began to bring definition. He began to bring some clarity and bring some revelation. And it almost always seems to happen after there's been a separation. Separation brings revelation. Let that one sit in a bit. Separation brings revelation. What are some things you hold on to that you need to separate from? But God is saying, that's not a part of this journey. You need to let it go. Because you want deeper revelation, you're going to have to let go of some things. All right. So the Bible tells us, Abraham left. He obeyed. And Lot went with him. Chronologically, it looks like Terah, his father, went with him as well. And they landed in this place called Haran. Terah's name means delay. And sometimes people will latch on that aren't a part of your journey and cause a delay in your life. And in this moment, if you got some Terahs and you got some Lots, and they just hanging on because they see God is blessing you and they just want to go along, or they just want to leech, or they just want to see what God's going to do, but they're not a part of what God has told you. That's the first separation. Ask God. You should have gotten like a piece of blank paper. If you're thinking of some terrors in your life that have caused some delays, you need to write that down if they're still in your life. Because by the end of this message, I believe God is going to speak to you about some things that you need to let go of so that you will be prepared to see. After Terah dies, Abram moves into Canaan. And we read these words in Hebrews 11. And I think this is, again, I'm reading from the Passion Translation. It said, faith motivated Abraham to obey God's call and leave the familiar to discover the territory he was destined to inherit from God. So he left with only a promise. He left with only a promise. God appeared to him in such a way that I don't understand this at all, but faith began to rise enough for him to say, I'm going to leave it all behind. He left, and all he had was a promise at 75. And without knowing ahead of time where he was going, Abraham stepped out in faith. He lived by faith as an immigrant in his promised land, as though it belonged, even though it belonged to someone else. He journeyed through the land living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, who were persuaded that they were also co-heirs of the same promise. One other translation says, nothing but his faith seemed permanent. He's moving from place to place. There's inhabit. There's other people living there, but God said, this is the land. Nothing but his faith seemed permanent, but that was enough. And that was enough for God. He believed. you really believe what God is saying to you? Enough to let go of what you've known, to step out into what may be the unknown, but you got a promise. You got a promise. Step out on that promise. A little further down, we read in Hebrews 11, we read about Sarah's faith, and sometimes we don't really consider her faith because her actions in Genesis don't look like faith to us a lot of times. But this is what it says about Sarah's faith. Sarah's faith embraced the miracle power to conceive, even though she was barren and was past the age of childbearing, for the authority of her faith, the authority of her faith rested in the one who made the promise, and she tapped into his faithfulness. I'm going to read that again. That's Hebrews 11:11. The authority of her faith rested in the one who made the promise. And she tapped in to God's faithfulness. Another translation says that she believed in God's faithfulness and gave that belief the authority over her life. She wasn't looking at her age. She wasn't looking at the fact that she's almost 90 years old and hasn't had a child. She had a promise. And her faith in the promise became the authority over her life. I know that God's going to do it. I know he spoke it many, many years ago. I'm telling you, 1987, I couldn't have conceived. And God started just orchestrating things. Moved me from one school to another so I could meet someone who was going to take me with her to New York, where I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Because I'm sitting in my church daily. Grew up in this church, wonderful church. I'm grateful for the foundation that I got there. But I got in my mid-30s and I'm thinking, I'm sitting there one Sunday and I said, God, this can't be it. This can't be it. Gary knows he was in the same place. And again, it's not any reflection on the church. It's just that I knew, I'm sitting there and I'm seeing Jesus on the cross. I'm seeing him bear this cross. I'm seeing him being whipped. And I'm saying, Jesus, you had to die for more than this. You didn't go through all of that so I could sit here and sing a few hymns and go home and watch people shout and then just go home and live how they want to live if they want to and if they want to be saved, okay. And I'm reading in your word, I'm supposed to be experiencing abundant life. It's this. This can't be. This can't be what you meant by abundant life. There's got to be more. So that set me on this journey. So now I'm moving to another school. I meet this woman, my friend Brenda. She has got this glow, and I don't know what it is, God, but I want what she's got. We became really good friends. Fast forward, 1987, she calls me. Guess who's going to be in New York? Fred Price is going to be in New York. She loved Fred Price. Virgil can't go. Virgil is her husband. Deborah Louise, that's what she just called me. That's how I got. Come here, Kashka. We gotta go. And I'm thinking, I can't afford that. And God was like, you gotta go. Get to New York, 4-day crusade. Last night we're there. And every night up until that point, they've been given this invitation. If you haven't given your life to Christ, stand up. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, stand up. This last night, I knew I can come to New York. I'm going to get everything you got from me. So when they gave that invitation for those who want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I stood up. They took about 400 of us to another room. And after just a few instructions, all I said, thank you for the gift. And the tongues just began to flow. It wasn't any kind of effort. And that shifted everything for me. I came out, we're walking down the street back to the hotel. Brenda's all excited. I can't sleep. And about 2:00 in the morning, she says, Deborah, let's do it. And then we just started. And the moment I got home, everything started. Seemed like it was about to fall apart. Relationships broke up. Everything. And we see this with Abraham. He says yes. He sits out. And the next thing you know, he's in a famine. Now, we don't read that God said, don't go to Egypt. That's what he told. Jamal read that earlier. He told Isaac, stay in the land. But we don't read that he said, don't go to Egypt. But then Abram makes some choices once he gets to Egypt that are a little questionable. And I know none of you have made decisions based on fear. Y'all really saved. You haven't made decisions based on self-preservation. And I still believe this decision to say, don't tell them that you're my wife, just say you're my sister. It's not really a lie. But if they see you and they think you're my husband, they're going to kill me to get you. And I got a word from the Lord. And so if I die, what happens? Y'all never thought like that. Just come up with your own plan to protect yourself. He trusted him enough to leave, but not quite enough to protect him and Sarah. So he comes up with his own plan, and he says, and jeopardizes Sarah, because what happens is they had to negotiate with a brother to have any kind of dealings with Sarah. And obviously he negotiated because he got rich and Sarah ended up in the harem. And God's like, you're not going to mess up my plan. I'm going to deal with Pharaoh. The incredible thing every time I read this is God never said, Abraham, you liar, you coward. Why didn't you trust me? Oh, man of little faith. Never says any of that. He just readjusts the plan. I mean, readjust so his plan is not messed up. And he afflicts everybody in Pharaoh's house. And Pharaoh's like, and finally they figure out, it's because of Sarah. Get out. And they leave. Blessed, richer than they were when they went to Egypt. Because God is gonna honor his word. The first thing, and I'm talking about things that may prevent us from seeing, the first thing that may prevent us from seeing is our disobedience. It says that when Abraham heard God speak, he obeyed. He didn't wait for any more confirmation. He didn't go to the prophets of the land. He didn't have a long discussion. What do you think? Do you think this is really God? Do you really think this is God? Do you think I really should go? He obeyed. If we're going to see the fulfillment of God's word, you have to be willing to leave everything behind and to obey. Pastor Nina spoke of swift obedience. The only delay was because he had folk with him that weren't supposed to be with him. But he obeyed. So, you are prepared to see when you are able and willing to let go of all you've known to embrace the promises of God by faith. And if you don't remember anything else, just say in the middle of some trial, just say, Leka, Leka, he's helping me become all he knows me to be. The second one to be prepared to see is our obedience. We are prepared to see when we relinquish fear. Now, this is the third one, because this is what happens when he came up against a test. We are prepared to see when we relinquish fear and trust fully in God's ability to perform his word. Abraham eventually gets the point because we read in Romans that he believed that the one who promised was able to perform it. But in Egypt, and then we read a little later in Gerar, because he does the same thing, he is operating and making decisions based on fear and self-preservation. God has the ability to guard his word to you and to protect you. Just trust him for that. And when you get to the place where we can fully trust God, this could be a dangerous place right now. I'm trusting you to protect your word and to protect me, then we are able to see. They leave Egypt, Lot's still with him. So we get to around chapter 13 and Lot's got to go. So they have this, Lot's rich, Abram's rich. They're all using up the land. Lot's men and Abram's men are fighting with each other. So Abraham just says, hey, there's enough land for everybody. You go where you want to go. Pick any place you want to go. But we can't stay together and remain brothers. Lot looks with his natural eye and chooses what he thinks is the best land towards Sodom. And Abram stays in Canaan. And it appears that God waited until Abram and Lot finally separated before he spoke to him again. Once Lot goes, then God comes to Abram and he says to him, I want you to look to the north, south, east, west. Everything that you can see, I'm giving this to you. Look at the specks of dust If you can count the specks of dust, you can count how many seed you will have. Specks of dust. That's a lot of folk. Again, I want us to understand the significance of separation. Letting go of some things will bring revelation, definition to the promise, encounters, blessings, miracles, and inheritance. And I ask you again, what are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? The God is saying you got to let go. Here's what I really want us to get today. I could go. Well, I got two, maybe three more points that I want to make, and then we're going to pray. When we get into chapter 14, there's a war that happens. Lot's captured, all of his family, all of his possessions, and a whole lot of other people have been taken as prisoner. Word gets back to Abraham, and Abraham is going to go rescue Lot. Lot, and this is where we start to see, you're blessed because of the connection to someone. Everybody that was connected to Lot was set free because Lot was connected to Abram. Sometimes we don't know that where God has connected us is the place of blessing, is the place of you seeing fulfillment. 1987, God starts speaking some things to me, showing me some things that I can't even imagine. I don't know a John W. Stevenson. Never heard of a John W. Stevenson. There is no such thing in 1987 as an Heirs Worship Family Worship Center or Heirs Covenant Church of Cincinnati or Heirs Covenant Church. I don't know any of that, but God so orchestrated. Moved me from my little Baptist church to another church where gifts were being developed, and then in a place where I experienced some of the worst hurt that I thought I could ever experience, and I had gotten to a place where I said, God, I love you, but your people, I'm done. And y'all probably more saved than me because you haven't had those moments when you're just like, I'm going to go home, and as long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. And that's where I was somewhere around 1997. I'm going to go home, and it's going to be me and you, Jesus, but the rest of that, I don't want the rest of that stuff. I came here, and Pastor Nina, Pastor Arnina, I came here. I was a mess. God orchestrated. He's talking to somebody in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania, saying it's time to go back to Cincinnati and start a church. Because I was coming, and I needed a place of healing. And I didn't recognize. And then I got this friend who doesn't have a car. Rachel calls me up once. She said, guess who's back in town? Who? John Stevenson, and he's starting a church. And, well, I know where we can go tomorrow to worship. She didn't have a car. I'm in Finneytown, got to drive to Pleasant Ridge, pick her up, and then drive to Westchester because they were having service in the school. And I'm thinking, this is a lot of driving just to go to church. And in that first service, God said, this is your place of healing. And I didn't really want to hear that because I was ready to be at home. I was, you know, it's more people I got to deal with, and I don't want anything that looks like what I'm coming out of. I can't. But he said, this is your place of healing. And even though everything in my flesh was saying, I don't want to, I said, oh, okay. And that connection, that planting where God said to be planted, not where I was going to be planted, because I had another plan. I'm going to send home for a minute, and then I'm going to go over here. And then God said, use Rachel. Bam, nope, we're going over here. Let me tell you, what God showed me in 1987, because of my connection to heirs and my connection to the set man in this house, I found myself standing on a platform in Russia, speaking to worship leaders and musicians and singers and dancers. Russia wasn't on my radar. God had placed the nations in my heart. I didn't even know when he did that. And I'm standing in Russia, of all places, teaching the very thing he told me I would be teaching. because I was willing to be planted where he wanted me planted and connected to the one he want, the ones he wanted me to be connected to, I found myself in South Africa twice teaching on worship. I felt because I was willing to be planted. Don't think that over the last 20 years that there have not been opportunity that the enemy has whispered and said, you don't need this, you can go somewhere else. You 20 years of some contention and some rubbing the wrong way and have had my moments like, I'm out. You don't want me to stay and shut down, so I'll just, and God saying, this is where I planted you, this is where you'll stay until I say otherwise. And you got to be clear about where God has planted you, and don't let the enemy lie to you and get you to move someplace else and miss what God has to you, because your fulfillment is tied to the place that you're supposed to be planted and the people that God desires to connect you to. I'm connected to this man. I see myself standing on a stage in Dallas, Texas, singing and show me where you are today in front of hundreds of people from all over the world at the International Worship Institute, because I was willing to be planted and stay planted and stay connected to the person, that the people that God had me connected to, and unfolding, walking it out and letting God deal with your heart and take stuff out and put stuff in and rearrange and bend and mold and break and do all of that stuff and stay in place. Don't let God talk you out of your, the enemy talk you out of your place. You better stay planted. You better stay connected. You sit in some, I don't know. I'm not going to go someplace else. They won't let me use my gifts. They don't know who I am. I'm anointed to. You better stay. Don't be tricked. Don't be deceived. Don't be tricked. Don't be deceived. Don't go by what you see in the natural either. I thought it was going to look different than this. I think I'm going to go somewhere else where it's looking a little like, more like it's thriving. Don't be tricked. Don't be deceived. Your inheritance, the fulfillment of that thing, is where God plants you. Don't allow the enemy to uproot you when you miss everything. That's another Selah moment. We've already talked about the name change, the significance. See Abraham going to the courthouse saying, I want to change my name. He fills out the paperwork, and the clerk who knows him says, Abraham, do you know what that means? Yep, I know exactly what it means. God's calling me Abraham. I'm changing my name to Abraham. But dude, you're old. He's 99 at this point. You're old. You ain't got no seed. But my name is Abraham. I am. Not I will be. I am father of multitude. And you call me father of multitude. So every time Sarah said, Abraham, dinner's ready, faith building up. Every time he said, I'm Abraham, father of a multitude, faith building up. Every time he called her Sarah, faith building up. It's a statement of faith. You come into agreement with what God is saying about you. And believe me, he's not looking at you as a sinner and as a liar and whatever you've done in your past. Let it go, Elsa. Let it go. Let it go. Embrace what he's saying about you. He's known you before the foundations of the world. He knew who you were. He's calling that person out now. Step fully into it, and you let everybody else know, I am whatever, whoever God says you are, but you got to know who you are. And finally, we know, I want you to consider that if you have any Ishmaels in your life, God made covenant with Abraham somewhere around chapter 15 that solidified something, because covenant was something that Abraham understood. So he knows God is going to keep his word. Now at that juncture, God didn't say anything about Sarah. So he just said, no, the son that you're going to have is going to come from your body. So we know, we, you know, the little Hagar thing, and it was all Sarah's idea. And I'm old, she's young, go ahead. You know, God didn't say I was part of this, so go right ahead. And we created Ishmael. And he's had this son for 13 years before Isaac comes along. And it's his son, it's his only son. He loves him. He thinks he's going to be the promise. And then God says, Ishmael who? He said, I just want you to bless Ishmael. Ishmael who? That was your plan. That wasn't my plan. I don't have a plan B. And some of us have created some Ishmaels because we didn't think God was going to come through with his plan. And God says, you got to let Ishmael go. Abraham loved Ishmael. Don't think that was an easy thing, but God said, you got to go. And the Bible says he could send him out with a cup of water. It sent him and Hagar out with a cup of water and a little bit of food into the desert. Like, what? But he obeyed God because God said, my plan is Isaac. I'm not going by your plan. Get rid of your plan Bs. I've had some plan Bs. Y'all seen y'all raising your hand because y'all doubt save, more saved than I am, I guess. Cause I said, just in case this don't work out, I'm going to do this. And God's like, we'll see if that works for you. And it never did. So I've learned to put my trust in you. I've learned to keep my eyes on you. What are the Ishmaels in your life that you need to let go of so that the true promise can come forth? What is your plan B? Tear it up. Tear it up. And then the last thing, Isaac comes, and we get to this wonderful chapter 22, and God says, give him back to me. I finally got what you promised me, and you saying, what? Give him back. But we don't read that Abraham said that. We would do that. We got this promise. Look what God did. I got the fulfillment of the promise. And then God says, I want you to surrender, sacrifice him back to me. Give him back to me. Give it back to me. Give it back to me. Take hands off. Give it back to me. But God, you promised this to me. But God, you said, this is what you said you were going to do. You want me to give it back. So where is your faith? One translation said that Abraham's faith was so strong at that point, based on everything that he had seen God do. He has fully stepped into Abraham. So when God speaks to him, it said his faith was so strong that he knew not even death could nullify the promise. So if I kill him, God, you're going to have to raise him up. You're going to have to do something because you would say it. He was the one. So I'm going to give him back to you. And the words of faith that he says is going up, then he says to his man, and we're going up to worship, and we will come back. Because no matter what happens on that mountain, I believe what God said, even in death. What are you holding on to that God gave you? And he's saying, are you willing to give it back to me? If we're not willing to release it back to him, we may not see the full unfolding of what he's promised. God wants, as Apostle John said last week, he wants to show you something. Don't let your Ishmaels, even the promise, become an idol so much that you're holding so tight to it that you won't be able to see. Don't let your terrors and your bad choices and all of the things that you think may have disqualified you keep you from seeing what God wants to show you in this season. See your life as a constant unfolding of the word. Allow him to do what he needs to do in you, to break some patterns, to change some things, to change how you see him, to change how you see yourself. Almost every time he came to Abraham, he came with a new revelation of who he was. He wants to be someone, something special in your life. Be willing to let go in order to see. I want you to take just a moment, that blank sheet of paper, and I want you to ask Holy Spirit in just a few minutes to show you anything that may be preventing you from seeing the full unfolding. And Minister Val has a paper. If you didn't get one when you were coming in, Lisa back here, Valerie. Oh, Lisa, yeah. And just take a few moments to write down anything that you need to release back to God. Any Ishmaels, any plan Bs, any fear, any place where you know you have just been plain out disobedient. Any place that you have allowed fear and doubt to keep you from stepping into the place. Some people have remained in a place because you're waiting for God to, one, confirm everything. You're waiting for this voice, this James Earl Jones voice from heaven and say, "This I, move forward." Or burning bush. I only read one time about a burning bush. Are you waiting for some kind of sign and you're too afraid to step out that because you're afraid that you may be missing God? Well, what if it isn't God? But what if it is God? You won't know until you step out. Let go of fear. Any cycles that you keep repeating in your life, what are they that need to be broken? Put them down on that paper. God is saying, I want to bless you and I want to prosper you. And yet, you can't keep a budget. Maybe he's saying, maybe you need to tear up that credit card for a season and learn to steward a little bit better so I can release it. Just before Abraham was ready to slay and sacrifice Isaac, God says stop. And Apostle John says it's not because God didn't know. God always knew what was in Abraham, that he would be willing to let go of Isaac. But he says, now I know that you know. I know that you know who I am and that you trust me.